Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Some breaking news. Tom Brady making the decision to leave the New England Patriots. And to help us talk more about that and NFL free agency, we bring in Lindsey Jones, national NFL writer for The Athletic. Lindsey, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Sure, no problem.
So we've seen Tom Brady's announcement on Twitter, and even for, I think, some of us that were expecting that he could lead the New England Patriots, it's still kind of a shock to the system to see that he's actually going to do so now. What's your initial reaction to seeing Tom Brady announcing that he's going to leave New England, and where do you think he may end up when all is said and done?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you'd have told me, I think maybe even a month ago, I would have said no way. I still think that the odds were that he was going to return to New England, because when you lay out kind of all of the football reasons, what's the best football spot for him in terms of if he wants to win another Super Bowl at age 43, you had to think that New England would have been the best spot for that. But, you know, really over the last month, you know, I left the combine in Indianapolis, I guess, at the end of February, thinking, okay, I think he's actually going to leave, but still not really knowing exactly where he was going to go. And I'm not sure if he knows exactly where he's going to go now. I think, I think the market's becoming pretty clear about who needs quarterbacks, who is going to aggressively pursue a quarterback. But it's just, yeah, it is pretty wild to think that Tom Brady will be not in New England this year. And, you know, it's happened to a lot of guys. I mean, I think, you know, seeing Peyton Manning change teams, you know, a few years ago, I guess back in 2012, 8 years ago now, that was pretty wild. But this, you know, 20 years in one place and six Super Bowls to end up going somewhere else is pretty nuts.
Lindsey, how much do you think this is Bill Belichick? I guess a comment on what Bill Belichick thinks of Tom Brady. I mean, there's some reports out of Boston that, you know, that Brady, I don't know if disrespected is quite the word, but maybe didn't feel as loved, as wanted as he hoped during this process. I mean, is this Belichick just being Belichick as he has been with every other player in his tenure in New England?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of that going on. I mean, one thing that we've always heard about Bill Belichick and in regards to Brady as well, you know, or in his relationship with Brady, is that, you know, he really treats everybody the same. And, you know, that sometimes can be difficult if you are a star player to be treated the same as everyone else. And, but, you know, there's a little bit of this to me where I've always been kind of trying to wonder the motivations with everybody, whether it's, you know, is it about winning another Super Bowl? Is it about feeling respected? Is it wanting to separate if you're Brady, separate your legacy from Bill Belichick's at some point? Is it financial and wanting to actually, you know, kind of see what the market will pay you for the first time really in your career after, you know, never really being able to test your actual market value? You know, one of the things about Bill Belichick that he's really famous for is he will always move on from a player 1 year early rather than 1 year late. And if he kind of, you know, that's not to say that he didn't want Tom Brady back, but he might have put some, you know, qualifications on it in terms of length of a deal, capping how much money they wanted to pay him, given his age and other team considerations. I would not be surprised if that was part of the, you know, Belichick had a pretty big role in this.
Lindsey Jones from The Athletic on the line with us. And Lindsey, one of the things Joe and I have been talking about for the past week or so has been kind of the intriguing roster that Tampa Bay has. You've got Mike Evans there, Chris Godwin there. We had Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports join us last week and float out maybe even the idea of Antonio Brown joining Tampa Bay and joining Brady there as well. What do you make of Tampa Bay as a potential suitor for Brady?
Yeah, we did an exercise last week where we kind of went through all of the potential landing spots, and, you know, I got to make the case for Tampa Bay, and excuse me, I have a cold going on right now. But I think there is, you know, I can see what the pitch is from Bruce Arians. And yeah, I mean, I think it starts with the offensive talent that they have there. I think it, you know, it really it's Mike Evans and it's Chris Godwin are two huge selling points. So that was not something that New England was able to offer to Tom Brady and hasn't been able to offer him, you know, in quite a while. And I think Bruce Arians is probably the other big piece of this, just in terms of, you know, he's really, you know, he's such a quarterback friendly coach, and, you know, he's not a BSer, you know, he's not going to coddle you. But at the same time, like, he values quarterbacks in a way that Bill Belichick probably never did to Tom Brady. And the fact that Bruce Arians has worked with a lot of Peyton Manning's peers, you know, he worked with Peyton Manning for a long time. He worked with Ben Roethlisberger. He worked with Andrew Luck. He worked with Carson Palmer. He worked with Carson Palmer late in his career. You know, I think those are all things that would be attractive to Tom Brady, as well as, you know, I think they do have some flexibility to sign other guys. I mean, they did re-sign Jason Pierre-Paul yesterday. They put the franchise tag on Shaquille Barrett, so they're making some investments to keeping their defensive core together. And then I think maybe lifestyle-wise, look, there's no state income tax in Florida. I think that could be attractive. It's a good place for, you know, if you want to, you know, buy a big house and pre-retirement and then retire to Florida. That's what a lot of folks do. So, you know, I think the pitch is pretty easy there. It's just, does he want a bigger market? Is he distracted or intrigued by the, you know, the allure of going to Los Angeles and being the biggest football star in LA? That would be the other question, I guess, with if maybe he would go to the Chargers.
And then on the other side, Lindsay, I'm almost as interested, honestly, in what Belichick's move is here. I mean, Andy Dalton is an obvious name. Teddy Bridgewater is an obvious name. Man, just imagine Jameis Winston going up there and cutting his picks in half to 15 under Belichick. You know, a lot of possibilities. Any thoughts on? Any leaning right now on where you think he might look? I mean, assuming he's not just handing this over to Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to just say, "Cool, we're going to ride with this kid who's taken no snaps." I like the fit of Andy Dalton there. You know, I think, you know, they would have to trade to get Andy Dalton, but they certainly have the draft capital. I mean, basically all they do is amass mid-round picks via the compensatory draft system. I think that would make a lot of sense. And, you know, I think if you're Bill Belichick and you're thinking football wise is, you know, I guess Andy Dalton is what, 32 now. I need to pull that up exactly, but, Andy Dalton, a healthy Andy Dalton, isn't he maybe the same, if not better than Tom Brady was last year? And he'll be a lot cheaper and you can, use that money to put other pieces around him. So I think he's intriguing there. You know, I think Teddy Bridgewater could be a really nice fit there as well. So I expect now that this divorce is official, that we'll see the Patriots make a move here pretty soon.
Lindsay Jones from The Athletic on the line with us. And Lindsay, I have to get your thoughts on this. We've been talking all morning long before the Patriots news broke about DeAndre Hopkins being traded from Houston to Arizona. And just what in the world is going on in Houston, Texans? What was your reaction to that trade? And what in the world is Bill O'Brien doing in Houston?
Well, I don't want to get inside Bill O'Brien's head. That seems like a very scary and dark place right now because I have no idea what he's doing. I mean, you know, he's made some some pretty baffling decisions on the field via trades, you know, and each one kind of seems a little crazier than the previous thing that he did. If it had become a personality conflict or, you know, with DeAndre Hopkins or something where they realized that, you know, one, they maybe weren't meshing very well, and two, DeAndre Hopkins was going to have some really exorbitant contract demands, you know, down the road, whether that was this year or 2 or 3 years from now, that they weren't going to be able to meet, and they decided to move on from him now. I still think it's crazy. I mean, he got fleeced in this trade. I mean, it's just bonkers. I was shocked when I saw it. I'm still shocked that it happened to the point that, you know, it's not official yet. I keep wondering if something between, you know, midday yesterday and noon tomorrow, something will happen that, you know, voids it, because it's almost so ridiculous, this trade that happened. So, yeah, it was pretty shocking. You know, I think it's a huge win for the Cardinals. And I would have said that that trade was a huge win for the Cardinals if all they had been doing was getting rid of David Johnson and getting Houston to take his entire contract. But they're also getting back one of the top five receivers in the NFL, who's, you know, still in his 20s and probably has a lot, you know, probably has 10 really good years ahead of him. So it's bonkers. I can't believe it happened. You know, I keep kind of refreshing to make sure it actually did happen. And, you know, it'll be wild to see it actually come across the transaction wire tomorrow when it's finalized.
And the Cardinals, Jordan Phillips, you know, that's going to be lost today. But I really like that signing. The Cardinals, you know, making some moves here, making things interesting. If you had right now a big winner, I mean, I think we all just talked about the big loser so far here in free agency. But, but Lindsay, the big winner, is it the Cardinals? Is it someone else that's really impressing you so far and what they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals clearly had a plan, and, you know, that's really what I always want to see. You know, it's so hard to judge, like, which of these guys and these moves is actually going to pan out. And so many of the big signings in free agency don't actually end up being panning out, in large part because the guys who actually hit free agency, hit the open market, are there for a reason. And the best signings often are the teams that keep more of their own guys in-house. So, it's, you know, it's tough to say, but, you know, at least with these Cardinals moves, a lot of it is about salary and it's about established players, you know, that weren't on the open market. You know, it's adding DeAndre Hopkins. So, you know, I like their plan. I like what they're doing. You know, I like some of the Dolphins moves. You know, they clearly are another team that has a plan. And yes, they were pretty bad for most of last year. I mean, maybe some surprising wins at the end. You know, them beating the Patriots late in the year, you know, might have really accelerated this this divorce with Tom Brady in New England. But you know, it's been clear that they've had a plan for how they want to build. You know, I think they were kind of it was a surprise to see them be the team that landed Byron Jones, just because of the amount of money now that they have committed to their cornerback position. But you can see what they're doing there. And now it's really all building to who their future quarterback is going to be. So I think those are initially a couple of the teams that I like. You know, the Cowboys are curious because, you know, we always kind of wondered, would they be able to keep both Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper? And, you know, and when noon hit yesterday and they had to tag Prescott and let Cooper hit the market, you know, you kind of thought, okay, Cooper's going to be gone, but they ended up being able to do both. It's going to be really, really costly ultimately for them to keep Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, and then eventually whatever they're going to have to pay Dak Prescott. But, you know, but they were able to do it. So I guess those are a couple of the teams that, you know, I was really paying attention to yesterday.
Lindsay Jones from The Athletic has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Lindsay, thanks so much for taking the time to join us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right, thanks, Lindsay.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll continue to react to the Tom Brady news of him leaving the New England Patriots. 615-737-1025. We'll take your phone calls and your text messages. 615-737-1025. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from
NWA.
The Athletic.
NWA coming in here, Marquise. But don't let it get to the lyrics part.
Well, yeah, I get the instrumental. I can't get the lyrics to this song because, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot in this song to digest.
It's not Munson's first rodeo here.
Joe Rexroad,
who knows what's going on?
I play what I want to play without playing what I want to play.
There you go.
And that's what...
Tasteful.
Very tasteful.
Tasteful NWA
intro. That's the word
intro
that I would use to describe Munson. Very tasteful. He knows what he's doing here.
That's right.
We had Lindsay Jones from The Athletic join us in the last segment, Joe, and we were talking about maybe a potential landing spot for Tom Brady. And the more I think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the more it makes sense. And an aspect she brought up that I really hadn't considered yet, but certainly I should have, when you consider, you know, free agents and putting the most money and getting the most value out of your dollar. No income tax in Florida. That is something to consider. Not that money's a huge deal for Tom Brady, but it is something to consider, I guess, if you're a free agent and trying to get as much money as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that that's top of mind for him. I think he's probably in good shape. And I guess I would also like the retiring to Florida thing, probably not a consideration. That's the thing. I think, doesn't Tom Brady, did he just buy a production company or did he start one? He's got a production company going. Like, it seems like.
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah. It seems like New York or L.A. would be ultimately where he'd end up. But again, how much longer is the football career going? You can go play wherever for a year or two or five.
You heard Jeff Darlington talk about, look, he's not concerned about the immediate future. This is going to be a slow build.
That's right.
Man.
Yeah, we're going to build something together. Whatever the case may be, however long it is, he can end up wherever he ends up. Like LeBron ends up with the Lakers and everybody made a big deal out of Hollywood and everything, which is fine, but also he could win a championship with the Lakers. Of course, if they play again this year.
Yes, that'd be step one.
You know, it wasn't just being in L.A. So Tampa Bay makes sense, makes the most sense when you factor everything in. I'm still holding out hope for some crazy off-the-wall surprise team just to make it an even better story.
Ian Rappaport has tweeted that the Saints have agreed to terms with Drew Brees. He gets a two-year deal roughly worth $50 million. Never in doubt, but now done. Brees continues to take less to help the team build in New Orleans. So a two-year deal for Drew Brees in New Orleans with the Saints there.
So Drew Brees, 2 years, 50. Ryan Tannehill, 4 years, 118.
Yeah.
Presented without comment.
Yeah. Hey, man.
But this is also the difference. Again, I'm not trying to throw shade at people in their 40s because I'm in my 40s. But this is the difference between people in their 40s and people in their 30s who are trying to play professional sports. That is a thing. It's a factor.
Well, and Drew Brees recognizes, you heard Ian Rappaport say there that he's taking less money. He recognizes that he is in his window right now with New Orleans. Like that team is very good.
Or it may be past.
But I mean, yes. That roster is very good, and there is a very limited amount of time he's got left to play the game. So,
yeah, look, good for him because they're going to have to do some stuff. They're not that far, but they're not right there either. And the Vikings win in New Orleans with Kirk Cousins leading the game-winning touchdown drive was another illustration that, you know, they went the wrong way last year after getting screwed in the NFC Championship game the year before. So they're going to have to make some moves to try to get back there. And it won't be easier if Tom Brady's in your division.
That's right. Had a text in on the text line that says, what about the Chicago Bears for Tom Brady? Well, Mitch Trubisky is there. Team is not loaded with talent around Mitch Trubisky and the Bears, but certainly that defense is very good. You have Allen Robinson there, so it's not like you'd be building from scratch. Probably more weapons in Chicago than he had in New England last year.
Yeah, I mean, Cohen's a good back. They do a lot of stuff. The stuff they do that works is all the stuff that gets Trubisky running around. But, again, you can change your system to Brady if you really believe that he's capable of playing at that high a level. That's what's... I mean, the market for Brady is interesting here, you know? I mean, it appears that here in Nashville, the decision was made to go with Tannehill. It wasn't like, I mean, we talked yesterday, Robbie, about, okay, is this just purely the Titans preferring Tannehill and saying we want to keep Tannehill and go, or was this somewhere along the way, did Brady float in a... You know, in a non-public FaceTime with Mike Vrabel, that he just didn't want to come here. I mean, I feel like it's a lot less likely that this was a Brady saying no thanks, and it was more of the Titans saying, well, this guy did really well, and we're going to reward him and keep going with this, right?
Yeah.
So, what is the market for Tom Brady? What is the true, like, how many teams out there are falling all over themselves to pay Tom Brady right now?
Mike Catalano on Twitter says, I love that Tom Brady did this to Boston on St. Patrick's Day when their fans can't go to a bar. That's a good point. That's a tough move by Tom Brady there.
Well done. Who said that?
Mike Catalano.
Good job, Mike.
Yeah, that was a very good tweet. It is a tough day. I said this earlier. This may sound crazy to some of you. 6 Super Bowls, 20 years, I think 9 Super Bowl appearances. There will be Patriots fans that react just totally irrationally to this news. They're going to look at it as Tom Brady leaving them high and dry, leaving the franchise, turning his back on the franchise. People are going to burn Tom Brady jerseys, and it's going to be ridiculous to watch.
I keep waiting for it.
It's going to happen.
I keep refreshing to find this person. No, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure someone will. I think 90%+ of Patriots fans are probably sad because this sort of confirms what we thought when the Titans won that game. Yep. Basically, the dynasty's dead. But this is sort of like, okay, it's official.
Officially
now.
Gone. Yeah.
It's over.
Rex Ryan had some comments regarding the Tom Brady situation.
Goody.
As you knew that he would. Here was what Rex Ryan had to say about Brady leaving New England.
I can say this. Every single team in the AFC East right now thinks they have a chance of winning, and that's not the case back in the day. Yeah, I believed I'd win, but that the other teams, no way in heck they believed they'd beat the Patriots with Tom Brady. So to me, no Tom Brady, New England, you're just like everybody else now.
Of course.
Right? I mean, other than
no,
me.
I believed I could win. I mean, we knew that we could
win. You know
what
was funny about that? Like, on his graphic on GetUp, they showed, like, you know, they usually like to show your accolades of what you've done. They showed, like, a Rex Ryan, 4-12 versus Brady, in parentheses, including playoffs.
Including playoffs.
I was like, man, the disrespect of Rex Ryan.
We knew we'd win.
You know, everybody else just approaches it. Yeah, we know. Man, why do we even go out here? We're not going to beat the Patriots. Why not? But Rex Ryan,
yeah,
he knew.
The one guy yeah,
4-12
with the confidence.
Record shows that yeah, he knew.
He
knew
the swagger. He had that swagger.
It is interesting, though, because I do think that whether it's, you know, consciously or subconsciously, you know in the back of your mind, if you're the Bills or the Dolphins or the Jets, the Patriots have dominated that division for as far as anybody can, or as long as anybody can remember. Now with Brady gone, it does feel wide open. I think I would probably put, without knowing who the quarterback is going to be for the New England Patriots, I would put Buffalo as probably the favorite in that division right now. You mentioned Miami. I like what they've done this offseason. Probably a good chance that Tua ends up there in Miami. Maybe you can build an offense in the draft that way with Tua and maybe a receiver in the first round as well. So I think all of a sudden if you're a team like the Dolphins, like the Jets, certainly the Bills, even though they made the playoffs last year, you feel like you're a whole lot closer to winning this division now than you were this time, certainly last year, but even last week.
Yeah, no, you do. And like the Dolphins, you know, Lindsey Jones on our last segment mentioned the Cardinals, the Dolphins as two teams that are really making her notice right now. And you know, the Dolphins have added to defense, of course. Kyle Van Noy, Byron Jones, those are nice additions.
Yeah.
They played actually really well at the end of last season under Brian Flores. And now, as we were talking before the show, Marquise, you know, you got Tua, maybe? And do you have Tua and Ruggs together
yes,
in
you
the
do.
Draft?
Yes, yes, you do.
I mean, that's a team I want to watch next year. Like, if that happens, that's certainly a team I want to watch. And I'm not saying they're immediately a contender in that division, but when it's this wide open, a team like that probably has a little different feel. Like, hey,
well, it is amazing.
Let's go. Let's see
how
what's
much
up.
Different you feel about them now, because there was a point last year, about 3 or 4 weeks into the regular season last year, where you're like, okay, Miami, they're not going to win a game.
Right.
They're going to be maybe the worst team in league history, and it's going to be a long time before they build themselves back up to a point of relevancy. And here we are, less than a year later. Like you said, Joe, I don't think they're going to be like a Super Bowl contender or anything like that, but certainly could make things interesting.
Devontae Parker deserves it. Louisville's own Devontae Parker. He deserves it, man. Guy's been through some rough patches.
Yes, he has.
Over there. 1,000-yard season last year, though, but he's been through some rough patches.
It's magic, baby.
All he needs is a quarterback and another wide receiver to match him, and, man, that'll be a pretty good team. They need a running game, too. They need a lot.
They still
Never
need.
Mind.
They still have needs.
Yeah, they still,
the more we think about it, oh, they still need this. They still need that.
All they need is a quarterback, wide receiver. They can start getting new offensive lineman, a running back, a couple more defensive.
Still more D.
Traded away Minka Fitzpatrick. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Talk about a.
I mean, so you basically traded away.
Good player.
I mean, you basically traded away Minka for Henry Ruggs potentially. So
yeah.
Minka for Henry Ruggs and Byron Jones. So, I mean,
there's always an Alabama
kind of
connection somewhere.
Yeah.
But it is that was the least interesting division in the NFL forever, and it's not anymore.
That's right. Going to be interesting to see what happens and where Tom Brady goes. When we come back, Chris Mason, Predators TV analyst, will join us. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Pleased to bring our good friend on the show, Chris Mason, driven by Freeland Chevrolet. Chris Mason is also brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. C. Mace, what's going on, man? How goes
the...
Not much,
buddy. Not much, you guys. I'm just telling Marquise that I got to work on my dad's moves here to match Willie Donick's TikTok video there. So
that was
out there today.
One of the greatest things I think I've ever seen in my life. The TikTok video by Willie Donick.
Big Bill just cutting dancing moves in the background and got in and out. It's perfect. It was hilarious.
C-Mace, how goes the social distancing? What have you been doing during this time?
Oh, man, I've been doing everything. Like, I was up until 3 in the morning playing Borderlands last night with my best friend. We just got back on the video game thing. He got a PlayStation 4, so we started playing last night, and then by the time I looked at the clock, it was almost 3 o'clock in the morning, so I feel like 700 years old today when the kid got up at 8 in the morning. But I've just been hanging with the family. We've been, you know, obviously watching Netflix. We've been trying to do an itinerary, you know, put the electronics away, play a board game, do some things to keep the mind going, read a little bit, and just kind of everything. I've been hitting balls. I was planning on playing slow pitch this summer with JP Dumont, so I've been on the driveway hitting balls with my daughter. She plays softball, so just, I mean, anything and everything you can think of. I don't know. What have you guys been doing?
Yeah, do you play Euchre? You ever play the card game Euchre?
Oh, I love Euchre. Yeah. I love Euchre.
My 9-year-old daughter is a Euchre, like, addict now. She,
really?
She, yeah. We got her going. My mom was here. We got Caroline on the Euchre. There's positives that can be found in this, right?
There really is. Obviously it sucks for everybody. It's a weird feeling when you get up in the morning, you're like, oh, we got to do this again. And it's only, you know, you can't complain. It's only 4 or 5 days into this whole thing. So, it really tests you. And I feel like, you know, during the season, I don't get much of this much of an opportunity to be with my family. So I'm really enjoying that part of it and just trying to make the best of the situation.
See, Mace, obviously, you know, when this started last week, and I'll be honest with you, Thursday came around, the NHL made the decision to suspend the regular season. It was the right call at the time. I think it was probably the only call at the time. But I thought, you know what, beginning part of April, maybe we're in a position where you're in a position to consider coming back if you're the NBA, the NHL. The more we've learned about this, the more time that has gone on and the information that's come out, I don't think anybody really knows when it's going to come back. And look, I didn't think this before, and I'm still hopeful that the season can take place, but I do think there is a possibility that we won't see NHL hockey again this year. Just what's it been like from your vantage point to watch all of this unfold from a sporting standpoint and the action that the NHL, the NBA, and several sporting leagues have taken?
Well, I agree with you. I think when it first happened, the NBA did it. I thought, you know, it's all so unknown. I thought, oh well, you know what, the NHL is going to play tomorrow, and then maybe Saturday, and then they'll take a look at it because they, you know, they delayed their statement, which was smart. They wanted to get everyone together and, you know, make the right call. And then once the league started, one after another, cancel these tournaments and everything, and it was like, whoa, this is for real. And, you know, it was a pretty crazy feeling, but it was, you know, everybody, it's suspended, it's paused, it's, you know, we're just going to see how this thing tries to you know, curve the spread of the virus, and then we'll go from there. So I was like you, I thought, oh, you know what, a couple weeks, you know, we'll be back, just to try to slow it down, get it under control, and we'll be back to playing before no time. And then, you know, obviously watching a lot of news, listen to the, you know, I always defer to the experts in these situations, and the more I read too, and the more I watch it, it seems like we're going to be in for the long haul with this. So it's quite feasible that there won't be a season, but you know, I guess it all depends on how long, you know, the NHL or some of these other sports are willing to play. And I think, you know, in the NHL's situation, I think it's probably more financially beneficial for them to play the playoffs and maybe, you know, shorten the start of next season, or push that back and maybe play a shorter season than it would be to cancel it completely if they can play into August. So it'll be very interesting. But I'm just going day to day here. But I agree with you, Robbie. I think it's looks like more and more a possibility that's either going to be get pushed really far back or maybe not happen at all.
Well, Chris, and all we have are, you know, hypotheticals right now and guessing, yeah. And we, you know, none of us have experienced this. But let's say it goes, you know, we're around mid-May or so. Let's say it's like 2 months from now, and like you said, it'll go into July, whatever they decide to do with the playoffs. Like, as a player being inactive for that long, you know, what kind of impact would that be? Could you go right into just playing games again, or would you almost have to have some sort of like mini training camps or something? I mean, like how much of an adjustment would that be for guys to basically be, you know, not playing hockey for 2 months and then come back at it?
It would be tough. It's like, you know, it's like when you go home in the summer and you know, you work out and then you take a couple months off of skating and then you get back to skating. And I know as a goalie, those 2 months off, the first time you get on the ice, you feel like an alien, like you've never played the sport before. It's a, you know, not quite like that, but it takes a lot to get back up to, you know, I think of, you know, the way Juice was playing, you know, UC Saros was locked in and he's dialed in and in that zone, that just doesn't automatically come back, you know, if you miss for 2 months. And I think, you know, like you said, Joe, the mini training camp is probably for sure what they would do. You know, they would do that on the Olympic breaks and we'd have 2 weeks off in the middle of the season. We come back and have a, you know, a mini training camp, so to speak, before the second half of the regular season started. So this would be obviously a lot longer. So they would have to do something like that and give the guys a chance to get back into game shape, because, you know, you're coming in. It's not like you're coming in October and you have 82 games ahead of you. You're coming in and playing the most important games of the season. You know, I don't know how they would do it, if they could just cut the season off or play five regular season games or just go into playoff. I don't know what they would do, but you would definitely need some time to get back into peak physical shape for sure.
Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, on the line with us. And Chris, last thing for you here. Look, all season long, we would kind of been hearing about, you know, John Carlson's maybe the runaway favorite to win the Norris Trophy. But one of the kind of the bad parts about this, and look, this is very secondary to the overall health situation and everything going on, but number one, the Predators were starting to play a lot better, and number two, I think a lot more buzz around the league was popping up in terms of Roman Josi potentially winning the Norris Trophy. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen as we move forward here, but probably safe to say the regular season is not going to take place in terms of the amount of games left that they would have to play at that point. And I don't know if that's going to give Roman Josi enough time to continue to make up enough ground on John Carlson to win the Norris Trophy this year.
Well, yeah, you know what? First of all, there's always a narrative out there that you guys know that once that gets started, it's hard to break it, because Carlson got off to such a great start. And even though, you know, there are other guys, Roman Josi, it was in that pack. Now I think they've kind of separated as the one and two favorites. But the more analytical gurus that I talk to, because we were just about to start a major push of all the deeper analytics, you know, comparing the two, they all, that anybody that I ever talked to agreed that Roman Josi wasn't only the favorite, he was a runaway favorite in terms of the overall game, the way that he plays, the individual impact he has for his team. So, you know, it's obviously too bad. And like you guys say, obviously everybody knows that, you know, the health concern with this is the most important thing. But what you guys are doing right now is a great thing, because it distracts people. So thank you for that. And I didn't know if I was getting the call today until I got the text from Marquise, so I'm happy I get to break up my day and chat with you guys for a little bit. But I think, you know, Roman, to me, and I don't do this every year, and I don't do this because I work for the Predators. I try to take the bias out of it. We tried to do the same thing with Pekka and just present the numbers, present the facts. And we were going to do a thing on the broadcast about player A and player B and show all the analytics and then let the people decide. You know, so it was taking the bias out of it, so the numbers would be in front of you, and player A would probably be Roman Josi, and that would be the Norris Trophy winner.
Well, we'll always make time for you, Chris Mason. We love you so much here on the show. Thanks for coming on with us today, man. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys. Stay safe.
All right, bud, you too.
Chris Mason, driven by Freeland Chevrolet, also brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. That really is an unfortunate part of this in terms of, you know, if you felt like the Predators – we're starting to maybe build some momentum before all of this news with the coronavirus affected the world of sports. And now, I really think, Joe, I mean, I thought last Thursday that there was a pretty good chance we'd be back playing NHL hockey at some point this season. And now, the more that things continue to progress and advance with this virus, I just don't know. I don't feel very good about it.
Yeah, no, it's very, very up in the air. Look, I mean, there are people talking about, is football season going to start at the normal time right now? I mean, the Kentucky Derby, of all weird things, has gone to the Saturday that's opening day of college football, which is interesting. But, I mean, if things are getting disrupted into August, then I think at that point you're talking about no champions in the NBA and the NHL. I still think there are also developments that could happen. And if everyone's doing a good job right now on the social distancing thing in this country, that's going to cut the time down. But, you know, there's also scientific developments that could change the timeline too. And that's what we're all hoping for. Go science.
Yes. We're all rooting for that. It is interesting though. Just the more this continues to evolve on a daily basis, it's just been incredible to watch. Like, to think about, you know, this last week at this time, we were looking ahead to a Predators game in Montreal, and to look back and think about everything that's happened since then, I don't know about you, Joe, but that seems like a year ago
We
were talking about that.
It feels like years ago. It's incredible. Even just every day, what you thought of, okay, well, maybe it will have to be no fans, and then, well, maybe they'll have to postpone this, and then, oh, the NCAA tournament's not happening. And to, even from there to now, is a dramatic difference in everything about society and about the timeline.
It's just been crazy to watch. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We'll continue to react to Tom Brady leaving the New England Patriots, also reset on NFL free agency as well. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroth here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroth from The Athletic, taking you through this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Tom Brady announced earlier today that he will be leaving the New England Patriots. Hard to believe after 20 years, 6 Super Bowl titles in the same place, but he will be leaving the New England Patriots. Bill Belichick has released a statement on Tom Brady's Patriots career. Here's what Bill Belichick had to say, quote, "Tom was not just a player who bought into our program. He was one of its original creators. Tom lived and perpetuated our culture on a daily basis. He was a tone setter and a bar raiser. He won championships in 3 of his first 4 years on the field and in 3 of his final 6 seasons with us, while competing for championships in most every season in between. This is a credit to Tom's consistency and what separates him. He didn't just perform. He didn't just win. He won championships over and over again. Tom and I will always have a great relationship built on love, admiration, respect, and appreciation. Tom's success as a player and his character as a person are exceptional. Nothing about the end of Tom's Patriots career changes how unfathomably spectacular it was. With his relentless competitiveness and longevity, he earned everyone's adoration and will be celebrated forever. It has been a privilege to coach Tom Brady for 20 years. Examples of Tom's greatness are limitless, going back even before he was drafted. We witnessed how he prepared when he wasn't playing, how he performed when he got his opportunity, what he did to continuously improve his leadership, his mindset, the example he set, and, of course, the person he is. I'm extremely grateful for what he did for our team and for me personally. Sometimes in life, it takes some time to pass before truly appreciating something or someone, but that has not been the case with Tom. He is a special person and the greatest quarterback of all time." Again, that's Bill Belichick talking about Tom Brady there. So some strong words. Robert Kraft also released a statement as well from both Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick in response to Tom Brady leaving the Patriots.
That's more words than 3 seasons worth of Bill Belichick press conferences.
Yes, it is.
Some big words, too. Unfathomably spectacular.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good combo.
All right. That's a statement right there. So all is well.
All is well.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine here. It is going to be interesting, and you said this earlier, Joe. Like, obviously, we're all very interested in where Tom Brady goes for here. It doesn't sound like we'll get any news on that today. There are reports out there that even Tom Brady at this point has not made the decision on where he's going to go and going to go play football next year. But I think equally as interesting, what are the Patriots going to do in response to this? Now that we know that Tom Brady won't be there and won't be the quarterback in New England, where do they go from here?
Yeah, and Lindsey Jones earlier, I think the consensus will be a lot of what she believes, which is Andy Dalton seems to make sense. And I can see Andy Dalton and Bill Belichick joining forces. I think Teddy Bridgewater is a really intriguing player who was on a certain trajectory before a horrific knee injury a few years ago in Minnesota. But, man, I'm rooting for Jameis all the way.
Oh, me too.
Well, where is Jameis going to be? I know that it's all about Tom Brady today, but not like I'm really intrigued about where Jameis Winston will be quarterbacking next year.
And will he be a starter? Because
yeah, it might not be. It may be that the top two picks from 2015 are both backups in 2020.
Because, look, I mean, the 30 interception thing, it is what it is. I mean, that's awful. I mean, it's really hard to do that. You almost have to try to throw that many interceptions in today's NFL with the rules are what they are and the rules especially against, you know, hitting receivers downfield, all these different things, illegal contact, everything. But he did throw for over 5,000 yards. I mean, there is something to be said for that. If Tom Brady ends up in Tampa Bay, where does Jameis Winston go after that? Does he go to the Chargers? Does he go to the Patriots? I mean, those are a lot of things that I think is going to be interesting to see, because where Tom Brady goes, I think, is going to have a huge impact on where Bridgewater, where potentially Andy Dalton, and where Jameis Winston end up as well.
And something, you know, with Jameis, of course, it's like the weapon discussion was always around Mariota here. It's been around Brady a lot, but especially last year because they were really limited. And then you can flip it around on Jameis Winston and say, yeah, well, he threw for that many yards, and, man, wouldn't I love to just throw it up and say, go get that ball, Mike Evans, because Mike Evans can't be covered downfield. And, you know, Brait and Howard and Godwin, I mean, it's a heck of a collection, so – you know, that's also – that can be used against guys too, and I think in Jameis's case, that's absolutely what a lot of people will think.
And in the Titans' own division, it looks like there are talks ongoing between Phillip Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts. And we've talked for a couple weeks that the Colts could be an interesting landing spot for Phillip Rivers. Let's just say for the sake of this discussion that he ends up in Indianapolis. Is that a huge upgrade at this point in his career over Jacoby Brissett? I mean, I think you can make an argument it's an upgrade, but I don't think it's a massive leap or really elevates the Colts above the Titans at that point.
Yeah, the way Brissett played late last season, I think it became more and more apparent that the Colts had to do something different. I'm not excited about this if I'm a Colts fan. I guess I feel like they're better at quarterback. But again, it's another, like Brady, it's a guy who's rapidly getting older before our eyes. So it's an upgrade, but I don't feel great about it. I'm a lot more excited if I'm a Colts fan about getting DeForest Buckner in the middle of that defense, which I love that move. You know, you're paying that guy $21 million, but that changes their defense. No question about it. You put him up front there, and a guy like Darius Leonard suddenly has a much easier job to do. I love that add. If it is Phillip Rivers, it's an improvement, but I don't know. I don't know how much of one.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the Colts are an interesting team because I think you feel pretty good about most everything they have except the quarterback. And obviously in today's NFL, that's the most important thing. And Phillip Rivers last year, I mean, it's not like L.A. doesn't have any weapons. I mean, he's 38 years old, be 39 upcoming this year, and you still have Hunter Henry there. I know he missed some time last year. And, you know, Keenan Allen, I mean, they have weapons. You know, they were a popular pick before the season began.
They were.
To make some noise, maybe make a deep run in the playoffs. And Phillip Rivers, to me, and I did watch a few Chargers games last year, he just didn't look like the same guy. Looked like his skills have diminished pretty rapidly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought he looked really average here against a good defense. And then late in the game, he made some big plays and had them in position to win before – and, of course, the Titans had that goal line stand and forced the fumble and everything. But I thought he looked very – and in a lot of games, and last year, that's a team that still could have squeezed in, and boy, did he make some unclutch throws late in games last year to make that not happen. I'm not huge on him. It's also interesting to me, you know, that if you're the Colts, that you're focused on him right now, and we know now for sure that Tom Brady is out there. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think there's more sentiment that way about Brady than some people would want to believe right now.
Yeah, I think so too. Joe, real quickly before we wrap up here, obviously the Titans franchise tag Derrick Henry, they lose Jack Conklin in free agency. Still have some money to spend out there in free agency if they choose to do so. What are the odds they go after a pass rusher, in your opinion? Maybe like Jadeveon Clowney, who, as a pass rusher, maybe not exactly what you're looking for, but a pretty dominant player when he's on nonetheless.
I think they're definitely better now that Jack Conklin, you know, is signing with Cleveland, and you've got more money to play with. The Titans signed Dennis Kelly. I think that the path from here of going to get a pass rusher and drafting a tackle looks to me like a real possibility, a stronger possibility now that Conklin's moved on. Two other quick things, Robbie. One, Bryce Drew is the head coach of Grand Canyon University.
Grand Canyon, baby.
So
Sign me up.
Tom Brady's not the only big movement today in the sports world. Also, Bovada is allowing wagering on weather. So that's where we are.
Wow.
We're less than a week into this new world, and you can bet on the weather.
You
can bet on weather now.
That's impressive. So, I may do that.
Trying to make the world a better place.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, it's certainly been an interesting show today. Tom Brady announcing he's leaving the New England Patriots after 20 seasons there, 6 Super Bowls. Going to be interesting to see where he ends up. I'm sure tomorrow maybe we'll have some news on that front. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how long it takes Brady to make this decision.
Let it ride, Tommy. We got time,
man. Give us a TV special. Give us anything you want, man. We'll take all we can get right now. We appreciate it. Thank you, Tom Brady, to making some news today. That's going to do it for us today here on Morning Drive. Joe, thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
We'll be back tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. here on 102.5 The Game. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.